Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You also find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on various topics, and you will also find a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study and understanding of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. All we want from you is to come with an open Bible and an open mind to let us show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with Christ Jesus, who died in order to set you free from sin. We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and this morning we are going to talk about Jesus' priesthood is an encouragement to faithfulness. We're going to be reading in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help in time of need. Now, the priesthood of Jesus is very different than the old priesthood of the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Aaron. Leviticus chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, and also in chapter 21, verse 10, Aaron and his sons are consecrated for the priesthood. The tribe of Levi were given the responsibility of being priests under the old covenant. Aaron became the high priest. Jesus now takes over that realm under his covenant. But under the old covenant, the Aaronic priesthood had to be a direct descendant of Aaron in order to occupy the office of the high priest. And the high priest could only go into the most holy place once a year. Now, why should these Hebrew Christians be encouraged by that fact? Well, the first thing it mentions in the text is that he has passed through the heavens, that we have a great high priest. Why? Because he has passed into the heavens. He has been in the place where we want to go. In chapter number 1 and verse 3, when we studied the credentials of Jesus Christ, there is no one that had the credentials that Jesus had. In Hebrews the 8th chapter and in verse number 1, it says, now this is the main point of these things. We are saying we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Our high priest is sitting at the right hand of God on the spiritual throne of David. In Acts chapter 1, when he left this earth, he ascended back to his Father, the Ancient of Days, according to the prophecy of Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. And then we see that he was made a little lower than the angels in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 7. He left heaven and he will return to again to go to the most holy place. And so our high priest is better because he has been in the holiest of holies. And that's the place not made with hands. So he has been in heaven itself. He has passed through the heavens. And since that is true, we need to hold fast our confession. What is our confession? That we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be faithful to that confession. We need to be dedicated to fulfilling his work in order that we might love him and obey him in all that we say and in all that we do. Now, the most holy place. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He is full of compassion and love. Why? Because he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. You see, he was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. In the garden, in the wilderness, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he was tempted. What does it mean that he was tempted in all ways like as we? Now, I've had people that have a great misunderstanding. They say, well, does that mean he was tempted to be homosexual? Was he tempted to be, was he tempted to commit adultery? Was he tempted to drink? Was he tempted to gamble? And on they go. And one can hope he was tempted in all those ways. When it says that he was tempted in all ways like as us, it means in the avenues of sin. There are three paths that all sin take: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are their passages of sin. And Jesus was tempted in all those ways. He was tempted by lust of the flesh, by the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we are tempted by those same three areas in our life. Yet, the difference is, he did not sin. He did not give in. He didn't have the inclination to sin because of his great faith in God. And we need to have confidence that he was tempted in all ways yet as us, yet without sin. But Romans 3:23 says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Why? Because we commit sin. Jesus committed no sin. Now, there was a debate a number of years back where those were taking the position that he had an edge. He had an advantage because he was the Son of God. No. Let me read you a passage that a lot of people think is a contradiction. Now, we just read that he was tempted in all ways as us, yet without sin. But we also read in James 1, in verse 12 and 13, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God himself cannot be tempted, nor by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, again, people will look at these passages and think that that means that God's Son wasn't tempted because he's God. And since he's God, God cannot be tempted with evil. But the answer to that is that God was not tempted. The Son of God was not tempted as God. He was tempted as a man. He was tempted in his humanity. Remember, he was not just God's Son. He also was the Son of God, the Son of Man. When the devil said, take these stones and turn them into bread, God is the Spirit, John 4, verse 24. A spirit doesn't need blood, doesn't need food. But Jesus needed food. He got weary. He got hungry. That's because he was a man. He was tempted as a man. When he told him to get up on top of the pinnacle, cast himself down, that would be something that would hurt physically. It wouldn't hurt a spirit, but it would hurt a man. And then when he told him he'd give him the kingdoms of the world if he would bow down and worship him, people said, well, that really wasn't a temptation. Yes, it was. Because he could have got, he received that after he did his Father's work, after he'd been fulfilled, faithful to all that he had been committed to him. But the devil was offering him a shortcut. You don't have to go on the cross. You don't have to go through all that pain and agony. You don't have to, because I'll give you a way out. I'll give you a way out by just bowing down and worship me. Then you'll be able to bypass all that, and you'll get the glory that you left in heaven. But again, that was a temptation. But notice, yet without sin. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. In joy and sorrow and fear and in hope. Did he have the inclination to sin? No, because he was faithful to God. He trusted his Father. Loved not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these are of the world and not of God. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. God's Son did not have the love for the world. Therefore, he did not cave in. He was able to bring them under his control. Something man has not been able to accomplish then, nor has he been able to accomplish now. This can make us bold. It can embolden us that we have such a high priest. He didn't commit sin. He was tempted. He defeated Satan on every realm, on every try that he had to try to lead him into sin, to try to cause him to sin, to become weak. He passed the test. Why? Because he was faithful. And so we have a high priest who understands. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, the Lord just doesn't understand, you know, a drug addict or an alcohol addict or a pornographer or someone that's addicted to other types of behavior. Well, God just doesn't understand. Yes, God does understand, because Jesus was tempted in all those ways, and yet he did not yield. He did not give in. You see, sin is not a sin until you yield. Temptation is not a sin. But if you yield to the sin, if you yield to the temptation, then it becomes sin. And since we have a high priest that was tempted, but he was never defeated, then what should that do? Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. You know, Jesus himself said in John 14:6, no man comes to the Father except through me. We have to get to the Father through Christ. But we can have confidence because we can petition the throne of mercy and grace with all confidence because who our high priest is. Now, sometimes, man, this makes us bold in our approaching him. Why? We know because of his trials and his faith that he is a perfect mediator and the only one between God and man, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. If one needs help, there's no better person to turn to than our Father in heaven. 1 John 5, verse 14, John 14, verse 13, Matthew 7, 7 through 11, and also Philippians 4 and verse 8. Also remember Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And so we need to understand that we have great encouragement to be faithful to God through our high priest because of the faithfulness of our high priest. You know, I often have people tell me that God just doesn't understand me. He doesn't understand my struggles. Yes, he does. He had those struggles. He got tired. He got worried. He got thirsty. He got discouraged. He was tempted. He was tempted to do wrong. He was tempted to do evil. But he never yielded. Because he was the Son of God? No. Because he had deep, abiding faith and trust in his Father. And he knew that his Father would not leave him and that his Father would be with him all along the way. You see, he had faith. He had active biblical faith. And so we can have a lot of confidence when we petition the throne of mercy and grace through him, because he understands us. He understands our trials. He understands our tribulation. He understands our difficulty. He understands our weaknesses. And he can help petition God on behalf of our needs. Why? Because he loves us. Because he understands us. And because he is a great high priest. He is a high priest. Now remember, if the high priest has changed, no longer being Levitical or Aaronic, if the priesthood changed, that means the law has changed. Hebrews 7, verse 12. And so the law has changed, and we now live under the law of Christ. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. He is sitting at the right hand of God. He's in the heaven. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in South America. He's not in Europe. He's in heaven on the spiritual throne of David. And he's ruling and reigning in his kingdom as we speak. And we who are members are benefiting from that rule, and we need to be faithful because he was a faithful high priest. We must be too.